Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, March 10th. This is the regular meeting of the Derby Board of Apportionment and Taxation. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6:02 p.m. Can we stand for the pledge?
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we get a roll call? Louise, could we get a roll call?
Jennifer DeRoche.
Present.
Colleen Jermaine Izzo.
Mr. Borelli.
My.
I'm sorry, Mr. Borelli.
Yes, present.
Ms. DeRoche?
Present.
Ms. Jermaine Izzo?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Mancini-Wright? Ms. Mancini-Wright? Ms. Pirelli-Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Patel? Ms. Patel? Mr. Silkoff?
Present.
Ms. Simon?
Present.
And Ms. Wobno?
Present.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, you have 8 in attendance.
Ms. Mancini-Wright, are you? I see you unmuted. Are you there? Could you just identify for the record?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Okay, that makes 9, right, Louise?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Okay, item number 4, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I don't believe there are any changes. Item number 5, public portion. Would anybody from the public wish to speak?
Yes, I'm here, Phil Martino.
Good evening, Phil.
Yeah, good. You can hear me on that end, huh?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Shall I start?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, my name's Phil Martino. You ready?
State your name and address, yeah. Please.
Phil Martino, 24 Prairie Avenue, Derby.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead.
Where do I start? Well, I initially tried to get a hold of him here. This was over a month ago. Apparently, he didn't have the time to speak to me. So I talked to, I did talk to his chief of staff, Linda, and then Pam Happy. But be that as it may, which we don't forget. Look, I know the reevaluation went in recently, and they went in, let's see, I was like 187 here, now up to 308. Look, okay, that's legally the way that things are done, but I got to tell you, we have a big problem in Derby. We have a problem that we have no tax base, very little tax base, and apparently the Board of Taxation has one of the easier jobs in the state, because if you're short for $1 million or $2 million or $10 million, we'll just raise the taxes. I'm 84 years old. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. Let me backtrack a little bit. Veterans exemption. I was 24 going on 25 when I got out of the service during Vietnam. Got an exemption of $6,000. 60 years later, it's still $6,000, just for the record. Okay. You got to do something. The state has to do something, and the cities. I'm looking. I did some research. There's so many states getting in on this exemptions for seniors. We have very little or anything, and I don't want to hear about the Homestead Act. I was 30 years with Eversource. I worked my tail off to get where I am. I'm not at poverty level, but that doesn't mean I have to pay through the nose every time they raise taxes. Alaska's got $150,000 of assessed value exempt for seniors. Texas eliminating the school portion. That's a big thing. School portion of this property tax session. You got a guy down the street's got three kids. My daughter's 58 years old. I paid taxes. That's enough. Eliminate that. Texas is going to eliminate the school portion of that tax. Michigan bill SB 292 exempts seniors over 70 from paying property taxes, excluding homestead exemption. Oklahoma bill 1114. They're freezing any future taxes. Texas, the Senate bill number 42 and number 23 exempts senior exemption to $200,000. Kansas, up to 75% credit for seniors. Maine, portion tax that they repay the seniors back as a credit. This goes on and on. I could go for quite a while. Anyway, what I'm saying is, look, consider us seniors. We have very little. I don't hear anything. You know, I heard something really stupid the other day on talk radio. Now they have dogs that can train bears to stay out of populated areas. Why don't they stop building these strip malls and then 4 or 5 years later, they're empty instead of killing off the bears? Well, that's a separate title. Look, all I'm asking you guys, Board of Apportionment and Taxation, listen to us, please. I can't be the only guy. They say over 60. How about over 80? Give us a little break here. My dad, Ralph Martino, was one of the unsung heroes in this town. There was no organized little league baseball until my father and Ed Strang, the Ogle brothers, John Prestash and Chick Magic, they formed the Derby Little League. My father coached for 25, 30 years. They compared him to Joe Torre. They said, this guy could manage the Yankees. Not only that, he built the outfield fence. He built the dugouts and he built the bleachers for free because he loved the kids and he loved the game of baseball. All I'm asking you down there, before they put me in the grave, how about giving a break to the seniors? Stop taxing us for every, I mean, we can't, this taxation now, this reevaluation is going to kill us. I don't want to go to Florida. It's too hot. Don't make me leave. Where the hell am I going to go at 84 years old? Please help us seniors before you raise our taxes. Please look at us. I love the state of Connecticut and I love my country. I served for 2 years. That's a lot more than anybody in that room can say now. And as far as Mayor DiMartino, I'm sorry he didn't have the time to speak to me, but his assistants were wonderful. And I will remember that, Joe. Thanks a lot. God bless. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Does anybody from the public wish to speak?
Pull him off.
Is he done, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street, right here in Derby. I just have a few questions. I know that we have items 6, 7, 8, and 9 on the agenda for tonight. As I looked at lunchtime, there were no documents inside the packet available online. I'm sure we'll get them after tonight. But if you could just maybe either throughout the meeting or now, whatever your wish may be, is to just go over the process. Obviously, we'll have the presentations tonight, and I'm sure the documents will follow. But just for the people that are at home or in the general public, I'm sure people are going to have questions. And I had a few calls on the way to the meeting here again tonight on what the process is going to be. So the presentations will be presented tonight. The documents will follow. And then what comes after that for us to, look at the documents. And if we have questions, are there going to be workshops like we did in the past? Maybe you could just explain that, or you have my number in email as well. You could maybe forward that over to me. But that's all I have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And for the record, this meeting is rescheduled from last week. It was canceled due to snow. So anybody looking for the packets can find them available online. They were posted. Does anybody from the public wish to speak?
And Madam Chair, they're also on the profile for tonight's meeting as well.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody from the public wish to speak? Third and final, does anyone from the public wish to speak? Public portion is now closed. Item number six, budget presentation, Fire Commissioner.
Well, it's Brian Hall, the Finance Director. I am not the Fire Commissioner. Unfortunately, the Fire Commissioner is under the weather and will not be able to attend. I will speak on his behalf and then answer whatever questions I can. But if I cannot, I will happily try to get the answers and report back to all of you. Overall, the fire department net of some of the geography for utilities that we're going to be changing is going down $11,100 or roughly 2.3%. A bulk of that was coming through a reduction from the breathing equipment. We expect to purchase a lot of that gear this year with capital money that we've set aside and planned for. So we felt very comfortable reducing that amount and reallocating it back into essentially repairs and maintenance, where we've always struggled and still continue to struggle to stay below. You know, until those new fire apparatus are in service, I expect the next few years to be a bit of a challenge on that line line item, but we'll manage it best we can. Other than that, there were some, you know, a little bit of geography changes, just trying to rebucket some things to make it a little bit easier for not only the directors, but also my staff as far as some of the coding goes. And then as well as this board, so that we've got fewer transfers that we need to approve when it comes to these interdepartmental transfers for buckets that are very like kind and for all intents and purposes. The salaries don't go up, as you notice. The you know, we're a volunteer fire department. They've had the same salaries for a number of years. And occasionally, the station standby and fire watch are impacted by storms that have hit. So that's a little bit of an unknown, but you know, we put in what we can and we come back and ask for more if there is some big storm or something unusual that's occurred. Other than that, I will field any questions that you may have.
So on the geography piece, the computer maintenance, the radio maintenance, building maintenance is all going into repairs and maintenance, I assume.
Correct.
So I just want to make sure, because those add up to 55,000, add that to the 100 existing, you get 165. So that's an overall increase of 10 for that line item this time around?
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was accurate.
So it is, the breathing equipment's down 21. So we put 11 of that to the bottom line, yep. And then the other 10 went into that bucket.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it was accurate.
Yep.
And the other is for expenses. We're budgeted this year 2,400. We're budgeting next year 2,400. For year estimated, last year was 5,678. This year we're at 10,700, but we're budgeting 2,400. What's going on there? That's causing it to go over so much, and we're still only budgeting 2,400. I just want to make sure we have enough in there if, you know, they're not coming back and asking.
Yeah, no, sure. This goes back to, I guess, a couple months ago when I was in front of this committee asking for some additional funds. I believe it was around $8,000,
yep,
for the reimbursement of some monies that the fire department gets when they
get from the state,
for, you know, yep, when they do it on route to on highways. So we had that money that they hadn't been paid out from years and years ago. You all agreed to fund that, and that's where it got booked. So I expect that to be one time. We took care of that particular issue. I followed up with the other fire departments. None of them have a similar problem. I know there's like two of them that we've addressed in the past, but I think that's all set. So now I think we're back to the normal run rate.
So that 2,400 should cover any time they're up on the highways.
Yeah, the 2,400, that money usually goes directly to them. But the problem was that for a period of time before this administration, it was going to the city, and the city was not giving it back to the stations.
Yep.
So we just said, okay, well, you know, that was what was going on.
Okay, thanks.
Brian, I just on in the same area, and I do understand that you were trying to, you know, compartmentalize better so that, like, basically a lot of the repairs, maintenance, were all under one bucket. But if I'm looking at, say, building maintenance, last year there was 35,000 budgeted. This year, as of January, there was only 6,266 used, but we're still budgeting for the 35,000. How come?
So again, I've mostly reallocated that back into this overall kind of repairs and maintenance bucket. So what's probably going to happen this year is when the repairs and maintenance for the vehicles goes over, which it's definitely on track to do, right? We're at 84 and there's 100. Where am I going to ask for it? Probably out of this building maintenance line, right? So we'll do that this year because that's how we set up the budget and that would be the process. But I would say going forward, if for he needs more money for vehicles versus building, right, he's got kind of one pool of funds to draw on before we would have to ask for a transfer from, let's say, a different bucket.
Okay, because that was my same question for, like, computer maintenance. Up to this date, we have not expended any, and yet we're still budgeting for 5,000. It seems like, you know, several of those line items are a little, well, higher than.
Yeah, and some of this could be timing too. So again, I'll try to get February actuals in here for our next review session, right? Probably not next week, but the following week. We'll see if that's still the case, because I, you know, I was pushing Gary to get some of these bills in. He's, you know, like I said, he's had some health issues. He's probably a little backed up in some of his invoices and requests. So we'll try to get him to push all that through, get a little better feel for the February to date. But if you look at the 24-25 estimate column, you'll see we did spend $35,000 last year on building maintenance. You know, we did spend almost $8,000 in computer maintenance. So those expenses were there. You know, like I said, maybe they haven't hit this year. Maybe we've gotten a little bit lucky with the building maintenance piece of it. But my guess is there's probably just some timing here that's got to work itself out.
Okay, and then
hey, Madam Chair, if I could. It's Tom Biggs, Fire Chief.
Okay. Yeah, Tom.
I'm listening to you. I had another thing I had to go to tonight. But so the computers, we did replace a bunch of our computers last year. So thankfully, that's something that hasn't been breaking this year. There is some money that comes out of that for Word in different subscriptions and stuff like that we have. And for the building maintenance, there are projects that need to get done. We're just waiting on a few quotes and things to come in before they're finished. Like the there's a leaky roof at the Hotchkiss and the door at the Storm needs to be replaced. And those are costly. I don't have exact numbers on those, but that those numbers will come out of those line items whenever we get bills for them.
Okay, thank you. And I know this isn't just for fire and police, and I know you did, especially for utilities, kind of like pulled all of, you know, every department's utilities to try to put them in one bucket. For me, and I don't know if any other members of the board had difficulty, it was difficult for me to follow along on keeping track of where the buckets were coming from. And yep, here's what the totals were from last year. Here's what the totals represent for this year. Here's what was additionally budgeted. I'm just wondering if there is maybe a clearer way so we could identify exactly what where the geography was to better understand.
Yeah, so I attempted to somewhat normalize with the one line item, but I do recognize that certainly this first time around, it's going to take a little bit of effort to get some of this geography sorted out. What I can do in a subsequent meeting, though, is try to come up with like a one pager sort of detailing where they came out of and where they went into. I think Mike's done a little bit something like that on his own, but I can try to do that for the rest of you to just say, all right, these came out. I think what you'll find is when we're done is that we've pulled all these expenses into the one department. So there'll be a lot better visibility around the total expenses of some of these utilities. Again, it'll be a little easier to code, but overall, we brought that number down. I think it was around 20,000 when Mike and I were looking at it. So, you know, it should help when you consolidate everything and you look at the overall number. It's you have these opportunities to kind of pare back a little bit versus the individual apartments where they're going to want to keep that number, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, just to keep their budget flat and to try to normalize things. So, as I spoke to about doing this, this isn't about changing the approval process. They still are going to have to review all of the invoices. They're still going to have to make sure that it makes sense and approve it. And so myself, that's just more a little bit about the coding of where it's going to ultimately go. And then eventually what's going to happen is all of these sheets, whatever you got, 12, 13 pages of sheets is going to hopefully collapse down to, you know, 8, right? And each department has less buckets and it should be easier for you to work through that and understand whether it's year-to-date actuals versus budget or prior year. It should be just a lot easier to navigate. So I think we'll have a little bit of pain this year just to get this cleaned up, but I think it's going to be a lot better go forward. That said, I'm still happy to try to summarize it for you
okay.
Next go around, okay?
And just one more question, and I think Tommy might be still on, is for fireman physicals. We did budget for 36,000, but up to date, we've only expended 1,896.
Yeah, so I know a lot of members' physicals come due like this time of year. And Griffin is kind of tough on billing sometimes. So there might be some bills that Commissioner Parker has to submit still. But I know there was 6 or 7 people who went and got physicals last week. So that number is going to start eating through. I just don't know exactly when.
Okay, thank you.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Okay. I have no more questions on fire. Does anybody else on the board have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the record should reflect that Ms. Patel entered the meeting at 6:15.
Thank you. Okay, item number 7, 26-27 budget presentation, Street Commissioner.
Hello, could you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Piscinari, Public Works. Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
I sat down with Brian a couple of weeks back. We went over my budget. And what we came up with was we cut back on some of my line items because there's a raise coming up in the contract this year. I believe it's 2.5%. So we made up the difference by cutting back on some of my line items. And actually came under last year's budget by $2,300. We also consolidated some of my maintenance line items and put them all into one to make it easier to keep track of. Pretty plain and simple. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on that. I'll be more than happy to try to answer them for you.
Hey, Mike, this is Mike Gray. I just have a couple of quick questions on this.
Mm-hmm.
The town aid.
Yep.
So that's on the revenue and expense side, but that's gone up, looks like almost $87,000. Mm-hmm. What's the driver for that?
Some of that, I'm going to see. I talked to Brian a little bit. Some of it's used for road work. We're going to try to maybe get a new skid steer out of that also this year, which is a little bucket machine. Mm-hmm. Ours was, it kind of, It broke down. We had it up at Tyler Equipment. We got a price to get it fixed, and it was over $10,000. It's not worth fixing. It's old. So we're looking into that. And like I said, a lot of that money is used for projects, outside projects, road work, and stuff like that too.
I think specifically though, the increase, the 87,000, was because, like you said, it's on both sides revenue. So
Right.
the state gave him more money than what we were expecting in, in this year's budget, right? So I believe again, that's another thing where, from an adjusted budget perspective, we increased both lines. So, and that's why it's normalized out as well.
But
So.
that's a pretty known number where that's a pretty solid
Yes,
number to go off of.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
You
Yeah,
know, so it's
that's pretty
consistent with
impressive.
what we're going to get this year. It's not assuming any kind of big increase like we got from the year before.
Right. Yep. Thank you. And then the other question is just you had mentioned it a few minutes ago about the maintenance consolidating into repairs and maintenance. So that's at 138, 734 now. That reflects about a $28,000 increase. Is that accurate? That it's increasing that line item, or is there some math that's a little funky there? I just want to be clear that that's an increase there.
Yeah, you know what? I'd have to go add up. We put a lot of these, right? Like sidewalk repairs, maintenance, river walk.
Yeah, that's why I want to make sure
So,
I'm consolidating the right one. So I had
yeah,
sidewalk repairs, I had
motor
Carroll
vehicle.
trees, Picnic Grove, motorized equipment maintenance.
River walk maintenance.
Yeah, Main Street decorative
Okay, so
lighting.
all that goes in there. Okay.
That one's all going to be in there. So let's see what's that.
So river walk, Main Street decorative light.
Garage maintenance, that's another 11, that one in there.
What number is that, Brian? Oh yeah, yep.
5.308.
I got you, I got you. That's 9, that's 21.
The tire account, right, Brian? We did the tire account. We put out into the maintenance.
Yeah, we put the tires in the maintenance. That's another 15. We put the street markings,
14.
street signs,
Okay.
maintenance of slopes, maintenance. So I'd be surprised if it's up, quite honestly.
All right, yeah, no, I'll just add that into the number that I got from what I combined, so.
And I'm wondering, Brian, maybe if it could be as simple as maybe color coding all those line items that go into.
Yeah, we could do. Okay, I got you. Color code the other changes. Color code the department consolidations. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. You have any more questions? Okay, I have no questions. Does anybody else from the board have any questions? Okay, thanks very much, Mike.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, number 8, 2627 budget presentation from the mayor.
Good evening, everyone. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. All right. You have my presentation. It was sent to all the everybody.
Yes.
You do have it. Okay. So I'll just go off from page one. Executive summary. Accomplishments include strengthening financial reporting and transparency, enabling us to correct past budgeting issues and eliminate budget deficits. General fund balance is projected to increase from 2.6 million to 4.8 million through the June 24th, with more upside coming in the 24-25 audit. Expense management kept the mill rate flat in 25-26, maintained service levels while keeping budgets flat. Healthcare changes from self-insured to fully insured CT state plan. We utilized 1.35 million in grants toward the redevelopment of downtown. We generated over 500,000 in funds from blight enforcement, a portion which helped fund the new playground at Bradley School. Capital investments of 3.2 million for road work and new equipment. And then we had the approval of a $6.5 million bond referendum for much needed fire and rescue trucks, HVAC investments at the library and the middle school, dump trucks, and other infrastructure purchases. 26-27 budget highlights. Revaluation increased the grant list for real estate by 61% overall. Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen approved a 5-year phase-in to prevent a large tax increase and loss of state aid from motor vehicle cap reimbursements. The mill rate will decline from 43.2 to 39.1, or a 9.5% reduction. Net impact for the average resident, 61% revaluation increase, will be a 1.4 increase in the real estate taxes. You have the numbers down below here. So the total general fund expense for the 25-26 was almost 53 million. The 26-27 proposed budget, a little over 51 million, with a budget variance of about 1.5 million. And then if you look at the bottom line, general fund expenses, apples to apples, the 25-26, a little over 50 million. 26-27 proposed budget, a little over 51 million. And then the budget variance, a little over 1 million. Budget summary, apples to apples, budget expense increases are about 1 million or 2%. 90% of the increase falls on three major categories: employee benefits, Board of Education, initial budget up 1.8% or 366,000, and sanitation, final year of contract increased to 107,000. Revenue from sources outside of taxes increased by 90,000 for cannabis tax revenue and 70,000 for Cedar Village pilot. Detailed explanation on the major drivers are on the following slides and future budget review meetings with greater detail will be led by Finance Director Brian Hall. Employee benefits. The decision to buy claims runoff insurance for the self-insured plan is expected to create a one-time budget gain of about $800,000 this year. Initial estimates from the CT partnership are projecting a 13.5% increase in premiums. This will drive a year-on-year increase of roughly $500,000, 9.4 million versus 8.9 million. Connecticut partnership costs compared to estimated self-insured, excluding runoff insurance update. You have the numbers there, 25-26, 9.9 compared to 8.9 from the Connecticut partnership, and then 26-27, 10.7 compared to the 9.4 for the Connecticut partnership. The city managed to save $1.3 million versus what would have been needed if self-insured in 2026-27, 10.7 versus 9.4. Education, proposed budget is up 366,000 or 1.79%, mainly due to increased salaries, lower estimated state aid from special education excess cost grant. Revenues, removing geography changes, revenue increase of about 1.05 million or 2%. Major non-tax revenue gain, cannabis revenue 90,000, Cedar Village pilot 70,000, and treasury management income, interest income 50,000. 20% of growth from non-tax sources. Just to recap, Through the five-year phase-in, will reduce the tax burden to residents caused by the revaluation. Mill rate will decrease from 43.2 to 39.1. Net impact for the average resident revaluation increase of 61% will be a 1.4% increase in their real estate taxes. I'd like to thank all my department heads for keeping their budgets as flat as they could while navigating contractual and inflationary increases. And then I would just like to thank the residents for their continued support as we work to revitalize Derby and build a brighter future. That's kind of the recap on my budget with the numbers. Brian can go over the line-by-line items with you when you get to that point for that meeting. I'll take any questions.
The Cedar Village pilot, what is that?
That's the apartments on Minerva Street.
Okay. A pilot usually means that it's a temporary. What is
I believe the last administration gave them a 20-year tax break.
And it's okay. Done. So is this the expected revenue generated for the next 20 years or what?
Correct. Unbelievable.
Where's Phil Martino when you need him?
Yeah.
IFA.
There's one, I think, for 10 years, too, correct?
The other one, I think, is I want a 7, yeah.
As far as the sanitation, this is the final year of the contract. Are we going out to bid? Because
100%.
I'm online seeing there's nothing but people having a lot of difficulty with the services.
We'll be going out to bid. We do have the representative from Wind Waste coming to the subcommittee meeting in 2 weeks to address some issues with them. We are staying on top of it.
Okay. So their contract term runs July through June? Is it fiscal year or calendar?
Fiscal year, right, Brian? Yes.
Okay. So the last year of their contract is 26-27.
Yeah.
Okay. I did have. And just curious, you know, I know downtown was a mess for a long period of time, but certainly over the last year, you know, it's looking, you know, much better. I haven't seen a lot of discussions talk about any economic development. And I'm just wondering, do you get regular report updates from the economic developer?
Monthly reports. Just like all the department heads do. Unfortunately, the scrapyard is the thing that's standing in the way right now, but we are optimistically close to getting that deal done and hopefully moving them soon.
Okay, and I do get that one area is kind of tied up. I'm just wondering about other areas in the town. I mean, I know, you know, there are a lot of residents that are very upset about the tax increase. You know, I do see that, you know, overall our people are going to see a 1.4% in their taxes. I think they're struggling now. So I'm just wondering, I don't know if there's a better way to have, you know, the economic developer maybe do monthly reports to the Board of Aldermen, just to make sure we're staying on top of every aspect of development that we could have. Because, you know, right now, just I don't see that we're developing or doing enough to move the ball forward to try to eliminate the burden on our residents. Did you?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just for the record to know that the monthly reports are posted to the website. So there is a tab on the website of those monthly reports that are submitted. So
thank you.
If anybody would like to access them, you know, and we can certainly make sure you get a copy if you want them. But
I did not realize that. So thank you.
Yeah, actually, Mayor, they were not. And then when they started in January of 24 with those reports, so they're all there.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions for the mayor?
I just want to, you know, raise some attention to, you know, we're saying it's only 1.4%, but I don't know if anybody, I'm sure everybody realizes that most of the citizens of Derby are already paying beyond what they can afford. So 1.4%, that's nothing. Yeah, but it's something. And you know it's going to happen every year for the next 5 years. It is going to happen. I'll bet any amount on it. So at what point do we say that's enough? And we as a board, really, I'm going to say we don't have any power. The gentleman that was on said that, you know, we have the easiest job in the world. Yeah, but what do we really do except for make the numbers work? We don't have a choice. These numbers are given to us and we have to work with them. We are not at the negotiating table when contracts are negotiated. We're not doing anything proactively to try and change this. At this point in the game, there is nothing that can be done to change any of these numbers. If we refuse to approve any part of the budget and the aldermen approve it, we have to make the numbers work. So where are we? I just don't want it to slide by saying that's only 1.4%. Because it's going to be another 1.4% next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. I'm trying to retire myself. I just sent in a check for $5,000 for 6 months. That's like owning a timeshare. I have no choice. If my maintenance fees go up, I have to pay them. And it's all because I live here in Derby. Do I need to move? I mean, at what point do we say that's enough? Really? I mean, everybody wants to make more money. Yeah, sure. The Board of Ed, they just gave 24% increase over 4 years. I mean, I get it. We need teachers, but who's paying for this? That's just, you know, I don't think we're looking hard enough. And we as a board can't do any of it. It's not within our power to do that. So that's my statement.
Okay.
You know, I'm at a crossroads as a citizen of Derby.
The reval state mandated. There wasn't the city of Derby. So
I get that.
It is what it, I can't. I have no control over that either.
No, I get that. But I'm talking about other things that should be done proactively, not when it lands on in front of us. We say, "Oh, we got to deal with it." No, we have to deal with things proactively. When we negotiate contracts, where's the taxpayer at the negotiating table? We're not there. So, how do we have a voice in any of it? We don't. It's just not fair. And if you keep doing this, people are just not going to retire here. They're going to move out, and then all we're going to have is renters. And then you're going to have the streets look horrible because renters don't pick up papers on the streets. They don't shovel snow from around the fire hydrant, okay? Only people that have lived here for their whole lives do that. Do you want to lose Derby? Or, I mean, Derby is no longer what it used to be. Do we want it to get worse or better? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. So I personally am at a crossroads. I'm trying to make a decision. Do I dive in or do I just wave goodbye? I mean, like he said, I don't want to move. I like it here, but I want to retire. I don't want to get a part-time job or keep working just because I want everybody to make a lot of money. You know, this one needs benefits. I need benefits too, but I got to deal with what I got. Everybody else got to start tightening up their belt a little bit too. You know, it's just the way it is. Who's doing this work proactively to try and keep these taxes under control? Anybody? Or do we just, all I hear is, well, we can't help that. It's contractual. Oh, it's inflation. Or it's, I forget what the third one is. But regardless, it's like, okay, it's contractual because someone agreed to that contract. Okay. And it wasn't me. It's inflation. I have to deal with inflation too, but I have to deal with it twice. I have to deal with it on my end and everyone else is because they need to get paid more because of inflation. Where do I get paid more because of inflation? Maybe Social Security? Boy, that's about that much. That doesn't cover the increase. Okay. So when we say 1.4%, it's something in addition to the WPCA and everything else. I mean, Derby's becoming almost impossible to live in unless you want to keep working or you're making so much money that it doesn't matter. I mean, I just want to make that clear, and I hope I did. So thank you.
Does anybody else from the board want to speak?
I just want to say a couple of things. As always, it's going to be an uphill battle. You make good points, Jerry. You definitely make good points. I think everybody's frustrated with what we're paying. I don't think it's unique to Derby. I think it's Connecticut as a whole. I think it's the whole Northeast, to be honest with you. Costs of everything are going up. Insurances are going up, whether it's health insurance, car insurance, you name it, it's all going up. I do agree. You almost feel powerless on this board because whatever we do can be voted differently at the next level. I think we just have to try to do our best to do what the voters put us in this office for, to do our due diligence, to be fiscally responsible, to really dig into the numbers, as frustrating as it can be, that in the back of our heads, we're probably saying, well, this could be changed, but we have to do what we were put here for. And I have to say, I think this is my 7th year on the board. At times it's very frustrating. It's like you're banging your head against the wall because you are up against these increases. I mean, who would have thought COVID would have caused home values in Connecticut to increase because people were moving here from New York and people are paying cash double what the houses were, even the asking price was. So really that's driven up your real estate costs immensely. My house, there's no way I would ever get what it's assessed at. In Derby, there's no way I would get what it's assessed at. And my taxes are $16,000 now. So I totally hear what you're saying. It's not unique to Derby, though. I think it's everywhere you go, in every single municipality you read about in the papers, you hear about it on the news. You know, you look at boards of education. I'm shocked to see they're coming in at 1.3, I think it is, because many boards of education in the Valley, 6%, 7%, 8%. Most of that, again, it's a people-driven business. It's benefits. It's insurance. I think in this presentation the mayor just gave, 90% of our increase is insurance. And again, to your point, you made a good point. It's contractual. We're not at that table, unfortunately. You know, that's where some of that work can be done. But at the same time, again, I go back to, it's a people-driven business in school systems. You want to have the best people in front of your children because that's what drives people to move into your community. And that's what helps with your, with your base for businesses coming in. Businesses are just like any of us. They look at a community, they're going to go into Google and they're going to type in Derby, City of Derby, whatever, and they're just going to look for dirt on Derby. They're not going to want to come do business in Derby if there's a lot of dirt on Derby. But if they look it up and, hey, strong schools, you know, families are moving here. I want to be in a community where there are a lot of younger families moving in because my business would support that and they would support my business. So I think, you know, you have to become attractive. Again, the downtown is a big portion of that. I'm not even going to get into that because that's a whole other issue. But I think, you know, we're here to do this. We really, I think our next meeting really needs to center on our revenues to make sure what it says we're going to be getting, we're getting, because that's what's really balancing the budget on our expense side, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, and we want to make sure what we're saying the state is going to be giving us is accurate. We want to make sure, you know, I'm looking, the first thing that caught my eye was we're dropping the mill rate a little bit. That's going to affect this municipal, transition motor vehicle tax. It looks like it's going down 61,000 about, Brian. Is that correct if I'm reading it correctly?
Yes, 61,000, but it's actually a year behind. So I got that number from the state. The rest. Where you'll see the big drop is next year, because you know, like a year left.
Right. So, and that's another thing to keep in mind, though, is as we're dropping that mill rate, we're also losing money on that state side. So it's a tricky wicket there. So it's real. I think we really need to start, you know, Mr. DiGiovanni said before, what's the process going to be down the road here? I think the process needs to be next week at our meeting. We really dig into the revenues. We get that set and we make sure this is exactly what we can expect. You know, we're looking at right now a 97% tax collection rate. We're at about 1.1 million still outstanding. What's being done to collect those taxes, you know, to get us closer to maybe 98%? And do we go with a 97% collection rate? Because is that going to drop with the bills going up? We don't know that, right? So a lot of what you're doing when you're budgeting is you're projecting. Sometimes you project well, sometimes you don't have that crystal ball and you might not project what you're thinking. So I think next week really needs to be revenues. And then I think we can dive into, okay, let's go through the expenses department by department, line item by line item, to really truly understand what is it that they're doing with the money. Are there any areas where, hey, we might be able to cut a little bit? You know, if you cut $1,000 here, $1,000 here, by the time you're done, there's quite a few line items. You can have quite a bit of money that you're cutting out without affecting the services of the city. So I think there is good work we can do so that we're not feeling that we're powerless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think there's good work that can still be done at this point in the game with the budget. And again, I understand everyone's frustration. Like I said, I'm paying $16,000 in property taxes now with the new revaluation. Nobody's fault in this room. That's the state, you know? Yeah. And it's also the property in our area has skyrocketed. That's no one's fault again. But does it create a burden for homeowners? Absolutely. I think we can all agree on that. So yeah. Sorry to ramble on.
I just quickly want to say, I did read the statute and we as a board really, I know what we can and can't do.
Right.
So we're very limited. Unfortunately, the citizens of Derby think that the tax board sets the tax.
You're right. And that's a frustrating piece.
I did go back and read the statute. And it's like, okay, now I understand what we actually do.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is someone needs to start doing line by line. It's not a bad idea, but that's changed as far as I'm concerned. We need some real cuts. Talking about combining services with other cities. We're all close by here. The valley's this big. Detective bureaus could combine. There's a lot. Look, I'm not an expert, but I could give you at least 10 ideas that could be combined. Nobody wants to talk about it. But that's my point. How do we survive? Do we try to stay here and work it out? Or do we just turn our back and say, okay, see ya. Let someone else deal with it. Because people from New York think these taxes are cheap.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
To me, they're not. So, but anyway, thank you. I appreciate all your comments.
Shared services.
Well, you know, we're in the process of doing that now with the shared services committee. So, both the building official, yes. Some of
them. And we currently did start a shared services committee. The mayor did create this committee to look at shared services between the Board of Education and the city for finance and human resources. So we did start, but each nuance that you're looking into takes time, takes effort, takes energy, you know, but this administration has done its due diligence, at least starting to look at places where we could. And part of it might even be realized in this budget. Is that fair to say, or you don't think it's going to?
I guess the key thing it comes
to. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, moving on to item number 9, 2627, budget update, finance director, Brian Hall.
All right, so as Mike laid out, I think it's a good plan for the next few weeks of how to attack the budget. I will update the spreadsheets, summarize some of the utility geography, update some color coding, get February year-to-date updates so everybody's got the information that they're looking for in the way they need it. I know Mike who's been on the board for 7 years can say it's come a long way, a lot of this information. So, you know, transparency and reporting is really key. I think we do have that, which is without it, you can't do anything. So we've got that. That's a good foundation. We'll work through it. I think we haven't talked a lot about some of the revenues, so we can get into that. I can speak to the fact that we have been aggressive recently with some of our collection tactics, sending things out to collection agencies, perhaps even maybe a little earlier than some folks would want. But as you're saying, we really are trying to get aggressive where we can improve these collection rates. These collection rates have been steadily improving since we brought on our new tax collector. She is doing a lot of really good work. It's not always popular for sure, but it is unfortunately what is necessary, because even with our 98% collection rates on real estate, that's not good, right? Relative to some of our other communities. So there is still some improvement there. Cars are really low. I mean, there was a time here where we weren't putting people's registrations on hold. So even if you owed taxes, you were registering cars, right? Again, that all stopped under this administration. So a lot of the upside we've been seeing, a lot of the improvement with our fund balance is because some of these aggressive tactics and just best practices that we started to implement in the tax office. So I'm happy to get into a little bit more of those details and walk folks through that in some of the future meetings. I can send around again what I've gotten from the state. Things can change, but rarely are they going to change by that much. So at least you can have a pretty high level of confidence with many of the larger state aid line items, which is also going to be a good thing. Is there any other high level questions or anything else that we want to talk about before we do some of the transfer requests? Or, you know, again, happy to have these follow-up documents and then dive in future meetings.
On a payroll outsource fee.
Yeah.
What is that specifically?
So in the city, again, this is one of the things the shared services is looking into. There are two payroll providers, right? Board of Ed has one, city has one. The city's is a company called Paycor. And that's the fee we ultimately end up paying them. Includes our time clocks and some of our time tracking, as well as some of our HR functionality. But it's certainly expensive. And, you know, something that I think was just under budgeted in the past. We've seen the actual expenses last year. We're seeing them this year. It's something that, you know, unless we address the issue of having multiple payroll providers for the city, it's just an expense we're going to continue to incur without, you know, again, potentially RFPing it out and looking for other vendors. But at this point, I'd much rather see where the shared services committee goes and see what path that can lead us down, because it's certainly possible that could cost practically nothing to just put the city's payroll on what the Board of Ed's using, as an example, right? And then the $45,000 goes away. And I'll talk to the transfers specifically after, but if there's any other budget stuff.
Okay, so you do think, though, that the payroll outsource fee is something that potentially could be supported through the shared services initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Question on economic development. I noticed that there is an increase on that line item for this year. Is that a full-time position?
Yeah, I believe you're referring to our director there, Roger. Yeah. So if you're talking about page are we on? Oh, yeah, page three. Right, so... Right. I mean, the economic development director salary is tied to an increase for one of the contracts. I think it's a police contract, actually. So it's going to go up based on the increases in those contracts.
Get paired with police.
It's a good question. Why did the mayor get paired with the board of ed? I don't know. It's just sort of some historical things that have gone on. I need help
track the 3-year agreement that is renewed every year, and it's performance driven. And
yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of folks haven't maybe created their own contracts before, and there's maybe some templates out there that say, okay, for the bulk of this, you're going to follow this contract or that contract, just to simplify the language. But yeah, I know when my contract was put together, I was kind of went through the line items as opposed to tying myself to some particular, other contract.
So then it's fair to say that the police received a 5.5% increase?
No, I think what else could be what's driving it, I think it's probably 2.5%. There's some other expenses that there's some other monies that it can get that was probably getting coded there. What's coming off the top of my head is likely if you don't take the medical benefits, right, you can get a stipend, I want to say $2,000. So the economic development director, I do not believe, is on our city's benefits. Therefore, he would have got the $2,000. Likely that wasn't budgeted for in the past. I think that was another level down that I was able to figure out this go around. So what you should see is when we look at the actuals for the year, likely we're going to miss the budget probably for that $2,000 that ended up getting missed at that point. And now it's in there. So I think it's a little bit of an artificial increase, budget versus budget. It's, if we look at the actuals, it's probably closer to the 2.5%.
Thank you.
Brian, I have a question on the shared services. I know it's too early to even go there, but just curious, if anything were to be approved, who would be in control of that, of the expenses? Would it the city or the Board of Ed?
So the as far as you said, there's a couple of things planned, right? So the HR position would be shared services. I think right now there's approvals on both sides and all the boards. The expense would be shared equally, but obviously having one HR director where some of these benefits or some of the services and responsibilities for the HR team today will actually be stripped out and given to the finance team, particularly some of the payroll groups, so that we can realistically go from two to one and then save some costs across the board. On the finance side, it'd be something similar, right? Where if there is, let's say, no more business manager and it's just the city's finance lead running it, right? He's going to oversee both sets of books. His cost would be shared between the two groups, but overall, one's going to cost you less than the two, right? And then what that would allow that person to do is now look at the systems, right? Whether that's the payroll or the accounting systems to say, all right, well, I got two systems, I got two groups of people, what can we do to consolidate and save more money? And there's definitely a couple $100,000 there is an opportunity between the city and the Board of Ed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for saving. I would just rather see the city controlling the money than the Board of Ed, because as you know, once we give them money, we can't take it back. So
right. So from that perspective, I mean, that wouldn't change. I mean, today the Board of Ed, ask for their budget and the city monitors how much we give them and where they're spending it. But so that wouldn't necessarily, change.
How much of we don't really get to see much of their budget, do we? How they spend their money.
I've seen their line item details. I have access to their systems at this point. It's a little unique, I think, because of all the work I've had to do over the last couple of years with the Board of Ed to fix things from an audit standpoint and just in general, the financial controls. So I do feel like I've got quite a bit of visibility. I think, part of the reason why their increases aren't going up is because so much of the costs that are maybe in other towns, like for instance, their benefits, right? I mean, that's all in the city's books, we've been managing the vendors, we've been managing the costs for their insurance, right? So lots of times when you look at their Board of Ed expense, it's pretty low. Other times like, oh my God, I only spend, you know, 20 odd million. Well, the reality is a lot of those expenses are in the city's books and we've already kind of been managing them. So all they're really managing is, I mean, I want to say I'll put a number like 14, 15 million of salary, maybe 5 million of other, right, stuff. So from my perspective, relatively easy to kind of budget, plan for, and track if you know what the increases are. And, you know, there's a lot of, I'm sure, turnover that you got to manage as far as open positions and so on. But the harder thing to forecast is a lot of the benefits, and we've been managing that for them. So, okay.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question on health services for VEMS. We are budgeting for 26-27, and this is line item 53445, 45,000, but year-to-date actuals are already at 50.
Did I not bump that up? Yeah, I'll have to. I should increase that by the 5,000. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have to give them the 50,000 like we've been. I must have just missed that. You're going the wrong way with this, though, Colleen. We do have a couple other opportunities, I think, over the next couple weeks that I've been talking with the mayor about as far as on the capital side. You know, we talked about how we've increased a lot of the bond expenses in here for the referendum and for the road bonds and so on. I do think with some of this favorability that we're seeing, and we'll talk a little bit about it in some of the transfers, and I think we'll do something, you know, I'm proposing to do something similar, is if we put that into a capital account and we spend it this year, then I don't need to borrow it, you know, when the time comes. And then therefore, from a budgeting standpoint, go forward, right, we can bring that line item down. It's a better use of cash, right? Because why borrow the money and pay a higher interest rate if you have it today? We're just in a fortunate position as opposed to letting it flow through to the fund balance, which, you know, as in the mayor's presentation, you know, we really are going to have a lot of good news. So the audit's complete. I don't believe it's been published yet. We're just kind of crossing the T's, dotting the I's with the auditor on some of the final verbiage. But I think I projected 800,000 in what you've seen. It's probably going to be closer to a million with this one big change with workers' comp. So what the new auditor looked at is he said, you know what, you've got this liability for workers' comp, but it's not a short-term one, it's long-term. It's something you may have to pay out in the future, but you don't have to do it now. And the previous auditor kind of treated it more like short-term. So when we take that out and kind of put it into its own bucket, your fund balance goes up again, another 1.5. So now you got a million and then 1.5. So we're almost closer to $7 million of fund balance, which is well north of the 10%. And you know, I expect to get us off MFAC. I mean, it really worked. All of our past financial problems are going to be resolved. Now you fast forward to where we are now. Now we've got some extra funds from some of the good work we did with the change over to the new healthcare, buying that insurance a year earlier, planning to do it, and so on. And I do think we should reinvest that into capital this year, which would allow us to kind of bring down that expected cost in the future and do something like that. So we'll see how it goes at the capital meeting this month and how, you know, it's if everyone kind of agrees, that's the strategy. But I think that will help. We can bring it down a little bit there. You know, and then look, we'll continue to work together, like you said, to try to shave this down a little bit and, you know, maybe get the 1.4 below one, right? I think the important thing is that folks don't immediately assume that because there was a revaluation, their taxes are necessarily going to go up, right? My friend Charlie here was asking about it right before, sort of assuming worst case, and we sat down and I said, well, you know, how much did your assessment go up? And it was, you know, 40%. It was below that 61% Mendoza. I said, your taxes are going down. You know, so if your assessment, and you got to think of it from a percentage standpoint, is 61% or less, right? You're probably not even going to notice a tax increase, or it's going to be going down. And if it's 61% or more, you're likely going to see more, but nowhere near what it could have been if we didn't do the phase-in. So the phase-in will allow it to kind of gradually take hold. I think that's going to be the key theme, because even residents have come in, you know, oh my God, my revaluation went up three times. My God, what's going to happen? And we have the numbers here. I just walked them through it. This particular resident happened to own a four-family house. He was renting it out. You know, we kind of did the math. Here's how much you're going to have to raise the rent. It was $25 a month. He's like, oh, okay. I think they can handle that. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, I would just caution folks to say, like, let's do the math. I'm here to help. If anybody wants to see it, we've got all the numbers. And I can take you through what your increase likely will be, rather than, you know, assuming the worst just based on a reval number, because that's all I think people have right now. So.
Went up for, as an example, $100,000. In the 5 year, there would be 20% each year, right? So it's $20,000 each year added to what your original assessment was.
That's all that would work. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Brian.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to item number 10, transfer requests. You want to just...
Yeah, so let me just talk a little bit about the transfer requests. So the first one is around some emergency HVAC repair that's needed over at our senior center. So there's no heat over there right now. The rooftop unit actually does heat and cooling. So no heat now, but there will also be no cooling in a couple months. Really, this would probably go through the capital committee, get board approval. You know, maybe 2 months from now, we're making a decision. But the charter allows for, under emergency circumstances, which I do believe this is, for us to kind of work ourselves around the whole RFP process. And what I'm recommending we're going to do here is that we allocate some of the budget working balance to the senior center building maintenance so that she can use those funds to buy this new unit. Now, I've been up on the roof with contractors. We've got multiple bids. So I'm very comfortable that, you know, we're going to, you know, be able to get this done for this amount of money and do it rather quickly. I don't think I would be able to do anything differently or better if there was an RFP. So I'm comfortable with this. I think the approach is a little bit out of kind of necessity and urgency. You know, fortunately, the worst of the winter is behind us, but, you know, soon enough, it'll be hot. And then, you know, it's going to be the same problem. So that's the $36,000 out of the working balance into the senior center to cover the entire new unit. It's a 20-year-old unit. It's been leaking gas. The poor residents have smelled gas. We fixed a few other things, but it's a real problem. The other problem there, and why we're talking about increasing, using some of this money, like I talked about, right, adding to the capital fund. So the capital committee can go approve the senior center elevator replacement. So it's kind of working. The doors might open sometimes, not others. It's failed inspection multiple times. It needs to be modernized. Fortunately, we were able to receive some grant funds to offset a portion of this cost, probably around $160,000 coming from grants. But the last of it is about $400,000. So, you know, I think we've got to let the Capital Committee decide and the Board of Alders decide, but I need this committee to put the funds in there for them to even be able to have that conversation. So, you know, in that respect, you do have that power to make that happen. We talked a little bit about the payroll fees. So while that was under budgeted, I think you'll see we're pulling out courier services. So there was a time where we were paying almost $10,000 to have armed service pick up a lot of our deposits. Fortunately, the mayor reached out to the police commissioner and they negotiated so that the police would escort the tax collector to the bank, saving the city the $10,000, which we'll need for payroll fees right now to kind of cover those costs until we can do something a little bit larger on the shared services side. And lastly, as we've upgraded things like the police and fire and these IT systems, it does come with some higher costs than what we had originally estimated in the budget. Fortunately, we've got some favorability in another software bucket. So, you know, we can cover that. I think going forward, we'll, you know, I do think it's right for the city to try to manage all of these different departments under one vendor, make sure that our security is, top notch and that we're not at risk for, you know, what's happened in the past where you get ransom, or you get all these different hacks and attacks. You know, we're definitely better suited. I want to continue to do that. But it's not free. You know, you're going to have to pay a little bit extra in these fees to have these services. But going forward, the city will manage it in this one bucket, right? And it won't be separate in the police. And I think the last piece of IT that the police have, we approved their new dispatch software. They're going to go to a next-gen system and get away from a legacy vendor that they have. And that will really be, in my mind, the kind of full, completed change for the police where they're now really on up-to-date, newest systems. They're in with 90%+ of the states already on the software system, so we get tied in there, and then we've got good protection for their emails and all of their data. So,
on item number two, it says stop loss premium for the Board of Ed. I know you have it blended in under notes, but
yeah. So when I talk about all this favorability and benefits for the stop loss. Okay. So here's basically what happens. You're going to switch from a self-insured plan to a fully insured plan like we did. You have an option a year earlier to buy some insurance on the runoff claims. And the runoff claims are basically what happened after July 1, but it was back to your last period, right? So the actual services were from the previous period, but now it takes a long time for doctors to like process everything. So you can buy some insurance that basically says, all right, if there's a significant amount of this, we'll pay for it, but you got to, you know, pay up front. So if you paid $80,000, we didn't know we were going to go to the partnership. That's the risk you take. But again, we did. We pushed for it. And now there was north of $800,000 worth of claims that we would have otherwise had to pay that we did not have to pay, right? So that brought our costs down. I just picked a bucket that we're no longer using in employee benefits, which is stop loss. Stop loss, when you go to a fully insured plan like we did, you no longer need to buy stop loss like you would, all right? But That said, I'm still looking at benefits kind of in total. As far as health benefits, there might be 7 buckets that we used to use, and now we'll probably get it down to 2. But the 7 buckets add up, you know, let's just say 9 million, right? And the other 2 were 9 million, but now we get this extra 800,000, so my actuals are going to be down lower. And that's all I'm saying is we're going to reallocate that savings into capital, and then, you know, I'm proposing the elevator. We'll see if the capital committee agrees and that's what they want to do. But that's the, you know, push. I think as I get a little better feel for what, you know, how they react, I would probably want to do some more of this. But I think it's probably related to, again, the items that were in the referendum that we now have the money to pay for today, as opposed to borrowing the money and then paying it out over time and increasing our budget year on year and year for it.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Brian?
I have a question. Mayor, as well as anybody who might know. I remember when I served the last time, it was quite a while back, there was talk of a contract with the Supreme Coast for HVAC and all that. It was like an 18-year contract. Did that ever help us or not? I mean, I hear all these problems with HVAC, middle school. It's
That's a line item. Essentially, the way that worked was more or less that the previous administration borrowed, I'm gonna say around $7 million. They end up giving to Johnson Controls to do all of the upgrades, HVAC work throughout the city and schools. And then really it's no different than a bond. Okay. So you'll see a line item in here where we're paying around $400,000+ a year. And that's really essentially to pay back that Johnson Controls project from many years ago. As far as the benefit from that project, it was always, there's a lot of assumptions that would have to go into trying to actually quantify what the benefits were. You know, what was the energy cost at the time? What is it now? How much better did it improve? I went through some of the reporting. I couldn't really get to a good number. So I'm not going to be able to really speak to how much better we're off we are. All I can tell you is we're now paying for it. So that's, you know, that's roughly what it's costing us. Whether we're actually saw 400,000 of savings, I mean, when we look at our utility bills, they don't add up to 400,000. So I think that's probably, we probably could argue we did not do well. Most of it, I think, right, honestly. Yeah.
Just for the record, I was against it. I was probably only one or two that were against it. I was ridiculed for it. Yeah, 18 years, signs an 18-year contract. So I get it, it was commercial stuff. It did make sense to me then, and obviously it doesn't make sense now. But thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that's probably your payback period you're talking about. So I don't know. I think we've done paid for a few years, but yeah, we've probably got north of 10 to go. So.
Okay. Then we will move on to transfers. Item number one, from the budget working balance to a working balance in the amount of $36,000, transfer from line item 5020-58500, transfer to line item 4418-54301, senior center for building maintenance. Is there a motion on the floor?
Jennifer, I motion.
Motion made by Jen. Is there a second?
Ashley, I'll second it.
Seconded by Ashley. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Item two, employee benefits from the stop loss premium Board of Ed in the amount of $300,000, transfer from line item 8213-52922, transfer to line item 5020-58500, budget working balance to the working balance. Is there a motion?
Jennifer, I motion.
Motion made by Jen. Is there a second?
Bimini Patel, second.
Seconded by Bimini. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, budget working balance from the working balance account in the amount of $300,000. Transfer from line item 5020-58500. Transfer to line item 4900-57506, miscellaneous capital to general capital. Is there a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion, Mike.
Motion made by Mike. Is there a second?
Tina, I'll second.
Seconded by Tina. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, from the Financial Administration Department, courier services and the amount of $10,000. Transfer from line item 4117-55302. Transfer to 4117-53035, financial administration for payroll fees. Is there a motion?
Motion by Laura.
Motion made by Laura. Is there a second?
Bimini, second.
Seconded by Bimini. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Line item number five, information technology financial software in the amount of $20,000. Transfer from line item 4143-57365. Transfer to line item 4143-53523, information technology for managed services. Is there a motion?
Tina, I'll motion.
Motion made by Tina. Is there a second?
Kristen, I'll second.
Seconded by Kristen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Line item 11. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Ashley, I'll
motion made by Ashley, seconded by Laura. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting closed at 7:30.